This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Everybody, well, we got a couple callers online. I would have suspected that the lines would have been absolutely jam-packed full, but you know what? They're not. Jill in Millersville, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I'm great. And I just want to say that our founding fathers gave us the right to bear arms to protect ourselves against just the kind of socialist government we have now.
Thank you, Jill.
But when our U.S. senators and our U.S. representatives continue to ignore what we the people say to them about this issue,
that's correct.
Our founding fathers have given us one last resort, short of having an armed revolution, and that is we can still convene citizens' grand juries. So it would probably be a good thing for the NRA to convene citizens' grand juries in every one of our 50 states. And I'm pretty sure that we would decide that what is going on now is not going to happen. And so according to our Fifth Amendment, we can still, this is a last resort, we can still convene citizen grand jury.
That's true. There's one other thing that we can do, too. We can march en masse to the polls in November.
Well, that would be, desirable. However, my information is that George Soros' company is going to be the one that's going to count the votes. And so you know what's
going to
happen in that case.
Okay.
You better stick to the citizens' grand jury.
Well, Joe, I'm not sure, but I hadn't heard that, but that's interesting. You're welcome to send me that information if you have it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Jill. Nice lady. Let's talk to Judy, and then we've got Chris and John. Good morning, Chris. Judy, how are you? Sorry.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
I don't know if George Soros has anything to do with it, but I know it's a Spanish company, a company in Spain that is counting the votes.
Well, then that's very possible. It could be owned by George Soros.
Anything he though, yeah, he can own anything he wants, I guess. But I had happened to call Ben Cardin's office earlier yesterday about something unrelated to the treaty, the arms treaty bill. And the woman said that I talked to said, "Oh, you're calling that bill number blah blah blah." And I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "We've been getting a lot of calls on that. They got a boatload." She said, "That must be what you're calling about." I said, "No, I'm calling. I'm not sure. It's not just in discussion. I'm not sure what I'm calling about doesn't even have a bill number attached to it. It's the cyber law thing, the universal cyber law thing." That our administration is saying that they're voting that the UN be in charge of it. And she said, "Well, if you'll give me the bill number," I said, "I'm not sure there is a bill number. It may just still be in discussion." But she did happen to let me know they had a boatload and a half of calls against the arms treaty.
That's good news.
That's good news.
Very good. Thanks, Judy. Have a good day. Let's talk to Chris in Halethorpe. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Oh, good. The sneaky thing about this small arms treaty is that even if the Senate does not approve it or if they just don't vote on it,
right,
Obama can still sign it. And at some point in time, another future president or another future Senate could actually pass this.
That's true.
So the important thing is that
we don't want him to sign it. We don't want it to happen. Number two,
he's going to sign it.
Oh, he'll sign it. No question.
Sign it. Yeah. And hopefully, as you said, we have to vote en masse because we have to have so many people voting that there's no way that they can perpetrate any kind of fraud, and we have to hope that if Mitt Romney is elected, he will, because he, if president, could actually cancel Obama's signature.
Right.
And make it a moot point.
Exactly. Yep.
So you're absolutely right. We must get out and vote.
Exactly. That's what we can do, and we can call our senators as well. And Judy was right. I'm sure that Ben Cardin's office has received a lot of calls, and I'm hoping that we can add to that weight, to be honest with you.
Yes, we can, but unfortunately, I don't know that that would do any good either.
That's true. Exactly right. Yep, because, I mean, we have a voice with our senator only. We can't call senators in New York and Delaware and Pennsylvania. I mean, we could. But and urge them that, you know, you are a citizen of the United States. You're certainly welcome to call any senator that you like. But our senators are Ben Cardin and Barbara Mikulski.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Alan.
All righty. Bye-bye. John on your cell phone. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey,
I'm
bud.
All right.
What's up?
Calling about this arms treaty thing and Senator Ben Cardin.
Yes.
You know, if you call Senator Ben Cardin's office, or if you write him a letter, or if you send him an email,
yes,
he does not respond.
Okay.
All right. And if you contact him about this arms trade thing, he's going to vote whichever way Obama wants to go.
Well, of course he is.
So the thing is the important thing is that this time we have an opportunity to vote Ben Cardin out of office.
Yes, we do.
There's a man named Dan Bongino.
Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. And that man will defend your Second Amendment rights. He will defend your Constitution. You know, and I mean, I'm just so tired of talking. I have to say that, you know, I don't agree with Barbara Mikulski 97, maybe 99% of the time.
Right.
But when I send her a letter, I get a response.
That's right. I agree with that. She is very responsive to her constituents, no doubt in my mind.
She is. And she'll explain to you her view. And even though it may aggravate the heck out of me sometimes,
yep,
she still does it. And that gives me the courtesy of having the respect of, you know, my elected official. But with Senator Cardin, there's nothing for you. He has nothing. He cares nothing about you. All he cares about is the election, his vote.
Yep.
So I would just encourage everyone to get rid of him, vote Dan Bongino.
Okay, John, thanks for that. Appreciate it. There he goes. Talk to, let's see if Damon is on topic. Damon, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Pretty much people have to realize that Mitt Romney and Obama had the same bosses. So this arms treaty deal is going to go into effect regardless of either gentleman.
Damon, do you want to explain who their bosses are?
Their bosses are the Standard Oil, Great Britain, still in charge of the United States. They select who the president is, mm-hmm. not the American people, not the United States citizens.
Great Britain selects the president of the United States.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They select the president of the United States. What the American people, I'm sorry, the citizens of the United States needs to do is to come up with a party that can actually stand for this republic, this nation that's supposed to be a republic,
mm-hmm.
supposed to be neutral territory for free men,
mm-hmm.
for a free nation, not. It's not with all this bickering between Democrat and Republican. It's just one big host.
Hmm. Who in Great Britain chooses who the president is? Oh, I see. Hit and run. Thanks, Damon. Well, I guess you can believe what you want to believe. Now, I'd like to clear something up right away here. And you're welcome to express your opinion and your phone calls, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. We had a caller off the air who would not go on the air, who was not listening to my comments the last hour. He claimed that he heard me make a call for armed citizens to march on Washington. I did not say that, nor did I make that call. I simply said, I have a friend who is so upset about this that he doesn't understand why there are not a million gun owners marching on Washington with loaded firearms. That is what I said. That is what you can quote me on. That is what I just repeated, that I have a friend who is so upset about this, the arms trade treaty being negotiated in the United Nations right now, that my friend does not understand why there is not a call for armed citizens to march on Washington, D.C. with loaded weapons. Clear? Clear. Thank you. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Hey, I was down at Sean Mann's office the other day. Nice folks down there, run the office. There's, you know, a couple folks that work there and pack boxes and send calls out and that type of thing, answer the phone, do the email. Sean, been running around like a crazy man. But goose hunters, look, the season's coming up here soon, September 1st, and it's time to take a look at SeanMann.com online, www.SeanMann.com, to see all the different models of goose calls. Now, if you're a beginner, go to SeanMann.com, S-E-A-N-M-A-N-N, and pick out a Eastern Shoreman. They're very reasonably priced for goose calls, and you can learn to use that Eastern Shoreman call. It doesn't take a lot of air pressure. If you follow the instructions, if you follow the DVD, and do what do the instructions, you can learn to call geese. It's what I did. Listen to the DVD, played with the call. Listen to the DVD, played with the call. The Eastern Shoreman is capable of reproducing all the sounds of a Canada goose, which entices them to come into your decoy spread. And that's what we like. That's what goose hunters do. It's the Eastern Shoreman is extremely easy for a youngster to master or a caller who's never even put a goose call to their lips before. SeanMann.com. Now, here's another thing you can do. You can call the office, 800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. Log on to SeanMann.com, or SeanMann has a number of retailers around the region that sell the Eastern Shoreman calls. If you go online, though, you can see and hear all the calls, the duck calls, the snow goose calls, and all the different varieties of goose calls that are made by SeanMann. We appreciate that. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in the freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Listen to this. Gregory and Thomas Zakowski from Ashton, Pennsylvania, both caught white marlin in the Baltimore Canyon, and they're in the contest. Isaac Zook from Gordonville, Pennsylvania, caught a 35-inch bluefish on the Love Point Bar. Joshua Heinfeldt from Rock Hall caught a channel catfish 30 inches out of Swan Creek. Alvin Thompson of Hollywood, Maryland, a 13-inch white perch. Jason Sears, a white marlin. Christopher Wachlowski of Lexington Park caught a 13-inch white perch. Jeff Mitchell of Nottingham caught a 42-inch striped bass. Dawson Combs of Baltimore, a 13-inch white perch. Marty Davis of Oakton, Virginia, 13.2-inch white perch. David Coffin of Edgewater, 13.25-inch white perch. A lot of big white perch, citation white perch being caught. And they're all in the contest. Yeah, you go from white marlin to white perch. I mean, and everything in between. Isn't that cool? Diamond Jim's out there, too. He's a tagged rockfish, striped bass, swimming in Chesapeake Bay, waiting to take your bait. Your bait. Whether you're live lining, whether you're trolling, whether you're bucktailing, whether you're chumming, you catch a rockfish with a green spaghetti tag in its belly, you're in. You may have just won a $20,000 striped bass. You may have just won a $20,000 prize. You caught the bass. If it's an imposter, still worth $500, that makes your day. Well, you don't know till you go fishing. Why not? www.dnr.state. Let's try it this way. www.dnr.maryland.gov. www.dnr.maryland.gov is the website for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim and honoring Lefty Cray. Again, that's www.dnr.maryland.gov. dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
This is the Wall Street Journal report. I'm Jim Blakeham. Many of the nearly 10 million Americans over the age of 50 who serve as caregivers to a parent make financial sacrifices that can reduce their own retirement assets. The Wall Street Journal's Ann Turgeson.
It's important for people to think very carefully about the impact on their retirement benefits before they give up a job or even before they cut back on hours, because sometimes part-timers don't qualify for a lot of the benefit programs that full-timers do.
Before you quit your job, explore what resources are available that might allow you to keep working.
More than half of companies provide some kind of flex time. Obviously, that will depend on the company you work for and the job you have, but you may well qualify for some sort of arrangement like that. Other arrangements that could help are telecommuting, compressed work weeks, and job sharing.
And be sure to check out the federal government's online elder care locator at eldercare.gov, which features links to all sorts of care options. I'm Jim Blykamp with the Wall Street Journal Report.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 800-560-8410 to get your free copy now. 800-560-8410. 800-560-8410.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Shaking, your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rap, that grunt, that snare, that stomp will make you a believer. And buck fever.
Ha. All right, we got Tom in Elkridge, Dean in Millersville, and John in White Marsh. John, good morning. What's up? Hello, John.
Yes, sir. I called the Mill and Blair and asked about the magazine. They have their hunting magazine, but they don't have the Maryland Loves Crabs.
That's true. They do have the hunting magazine, and they don't have Maryland Loves Crabs. That's exactly right.
Are they going to get that? Or?
Well, you've got Vince's over there in White Marsh. You've got Lady Francis. You've got Bowley's Bait and Tackle. Those are all closer to you than the Mill and Bel Air.
Oh, okay. I know Bowley's.
Well, there you go.
Second, there is no citation size for crabs?
Yes, there is. It's covered in Maryland Loves Crabs magazine. It's 9 inches.
9 inches?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for your program.
There you go, buddy. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. There we go. And by the way, those of you who have picked up Maryland Loves Crabs and gotten back in touch with us and told the retailers that have that magazine that you appreciate it, I appreciate you all. Thank you very much. Let's talk to Tom in Elkridge. Good morning. Thanks for holding on, Tom.
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, good. I believe the outrage you're looking for, it exists. But we all know, and you probably run in some of the same circles I do, as soon as you step up, you get hammered down.
Oh, I know.
They're flagging everybody. If you buy more than one or two guns a month, you're flagged.
Oh, sure.
We're just afraid. We're ready to stand up when the time's right. If you stand up too early, then you're going to be ineffective when you're needed.
When is the right time, Tom?
That's the question. Who knows? I mean, we're all afraid. We all have families. We work our butts off for a living. And we're afraid that as soon as we make ourselves known, that we're going to get hammered and we're going to lose everything. And everybody's saying, when is the right time? Because as soon as you do stand up, you're afraid to lose everything. Look how we got hammered on the tea parties. I mean, all we did was show up to voice our opinion, and all of a sudden we're labeled as terrorists.
So who did that to you, Tom?
Who did that? This government did that to this current administration, our elected officials. And in this state, we keep electing the same idiots, and we get what we elect.
So you're saying that part of the motivation for not speaking out is fear?
It definitely is. I have no doubt about it. I run with a lot of guys, and we get together, and in this state, militias are illegal, so we stay under the radar, and we organize loosely because we're afraid. But we're here, and we're here, and there's a lot more weapons and ammo out here on the streets in the United States than the government understands. And we're true patriots. We want the right thing to happen. We want to do everything through the elections. That's our first course.
Right.
But we also understand there's only so far that'll go. If we can't
here's a question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah.
How important is the Second Amendment to you?
It's extremely important, and I don't
wait a minute. Let me stop you there. Let me ask you how important it is. Is it important enough to kill a representative of the federal government who comes to your home to confiscate your arms? Is it that important?
That is a personal question. I can answer that for myself, but I don't want to answer that and castigate everybody else.
Well, that's the ultimate fear, isn't it? You're going to get a knock on the door. Some federal agent is going to come to your house and say, "We're here to take your guns," or your house is going to be surrounded by somebody. Does that not cut to the heart of it?
You're right, and I think about that all the time. And me and my buddies, we talk about that all the time. I'll tell you this: I have a federal agent who lives two doors down from me.
Yeah,
good friend of mine.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you what I tell him, and this is going to be hard hitting. I say, don't be the first three guys through the door.
Well,
making sure you're number four.
Well, here's the other thing. The assault weapons ban, so to speak, was lifted years ago. It is a joke. I understand that.
I can do just as much damage with a 10-round clip.
There are gun shops who are, exactly. And you'll be lucky if you get 10 rounds off.
But you know what I'm saying.
But that's the question, though, isn't it? I mean, all these people who are buying these black rifles and this type of thing, get me an AK-47, I'm going to get this in case the government comes to take my guns, I'll be ready for them. Well, you know what?
If you're not ready.
You're not ready. You'll never be ready because you'll never see it. You'll never see it coming.
They're going to wait for you on your way to work when they know you're not armed. They're going to wait for you at 4 o'clock in the morning when you know you're with your family and you're not going to resist. Your fear for your family.
That's correct.
You're right. But what I'm saying, when the time comes, and I hope it never comes, we're going to do everything.
We shouldn't even be having this conversation in this country.
You're right, but we keep electing the same idiots.
So the question is, are you willing to kill a fellow citizen, a federal agent who comes to your home to seize your weapons? Is your God-given right to keep and bear arms that important? What?
To me, it is, but I still hold out faith that there's a lot of oath keepers out there. I was in the military. I got a lot of buddies who still are and are still federal LEOs and local LEOs, and I'm just hoping that there's enough of them, oath keepers, and you know who I'm talking about.
I do, yes.
In organizations that will say, whoa. And I'm afraid, though, that we're going to have to go through a couple incidents first before they say, that's enough.
Oh, we've already gone through a few incidents.
It hasn't. I mean, you're talking about Randy Weaver and Waco.
Correct.
But you know what? And they were castigated as terrorists and extremists. And it's going to happen, but I don't know. And every guy who stands up like that Marine, I can't remember his name, they threw up those nasty charges against him about child molestation, and then they got to sit in a federal prison with bullshit charges.
Yep. All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks, Dean. Tom. Bye-bye. Dean in Millersville. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
I'm doing great, Alan. How's it going today?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing well on my way to work here and just heading into Washington, D.C.
God bless you.
Well, yeah, thank you. I want to talk a little bit about the arms treaty. I'm a young person. My birthday's tomorrow. I'm actually 29.
Okay.
And it's actually scary how few people, especially in my generation, have any clue about what's going on right now with politics. They're so wrapped up in this quote-unquote change. And they have no idea how it's affecting them later down the road, and more importantly, our children. I have a four-month-old daughter, and the thought of, you know, 20 years down the road from now, how that's going to affect her is mind-boggling.
And that's right.
What I want to get at is, you know, I encourage, you know, younger people. We have all these media tools, these social networking tools. You know, everybody and their mother, for the most part, has a Facebook account. Now, we need to not only be, you know, like you say, marching on Washington. We need to be posting.
I didn't say that.
Well, we need to, well, I don't mean it in a literal sense, but we need to be contacting our senators, et cetera, and we need to be all over the, you know, the social networking sites as much as possible to inform those who don't know what's going on right now.
How do you do that, Dean?
Well, you know, I mean, as much as you can go out, you know, you got to figure, like, I know on my Facebook I probably got, I don't know, a couple hundred friends.
I have a state coordinator who is with a conservation organization, a major conservation organization here in Maryland. Every week, there are no fewer than 10 to 12 emails from him. A lot of them are posts on Facebook about an upcoming conservation event. There has not been one mention, one warning about any of this. And this is an organization who is very well funded, very highly connected, and nothing. I hear about all the guns that are going to be on the raffle. I hear about all the hunting trips that are going to be on the raffle, but I've not heard one word of warning about this.
And that's, I guess, what I'm trying to get at is we need to.
I don't have an update from the. I don't have an update from Ducks Unlimited. I don't have an update from any of the local conservation organizations. I've got nothing. I've got, as I said, I deal with hundreds of people in this business every month, every day. I deal with people. I've gotten two emails and two phone calls about this. And I have a voice. They all know that I'm on the radio. They all know that I have a hunting magazine. They all know that I'm involved in this. Two emails, two phone calls. That's why one of those calls has prompted me to do the show this way today. Isn't that scary? And these aren't kids on Facebook. These are people my generation that know.
And that's what I'm trying to get at is that, you know I can speak only for myself, but, you know, as many people as I can inform about what's going on right now, I'm going to do so.
Here's what I hope. I hope that the interview that we played, I don't know that we'll have time to play it again. We'll try. But I hope that that gets out to people. I hope that they heard it. I hope that my words are resonating. I hope the words of our callers are resonating, and I hope people will act. That's all I can hope to do is to put that out there and let it multiply from there.
Well, I appreciate it, Alan. Thanks for getting it out there.
Thanks, Dean.
Without people like you, we'd have a hard time getting it out.
So I agree with you, buddy. I agree with you on the social network thing. Good luck with that.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. There he goes. Let's talk to John in North Carolina, and we've got to take a break. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great.
How you been, man?
I'll preface this. I know that this is not the opinion of the host or radio station. It may be, but I bet not.
All right.
Look, there's an 87% reelection rate in Congress because of incumbency. Gerrymandering for political purposes is legal. It's constitutional. Supreme Court says so.
Yep.
There really isn't much of a remedy at the ballot box at this point, and the country's been going the wrong way for a long time.
True that.
Some people left after Glenn Denning stole the election because they couldn't stomach it.
True that.
I was one.
Yep. I know it.
Where we failed as citizens is we should have taken our government back by force. We could have done it. And I think at some point, our previous caller about are you going to be able to hold off an agent. When you're surrounded, you're giving up everything, or else you're going to die right there.
That's why I asked the question. Is the Second Amendment...
What they're probably going to do is swoop down in mass in areas.
Yep.
And target individuals.
Yep.
And when that happens, that's the balloon you've been waiting for. You don't take out your semi-automatic .223. You take out your very accurate deer rifle. And at that point, the Second Amendment and the country is worth dying over.
Correct. Thank you, John.
What is the whole prepper movement about?
The whole what movement?
Prepper.
Oh, prepper movement. What's it about? Yeah, it's for that. The oncoming onslaught by the government. Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's the other side of the equation. Is the Second Amendment important enough to you to kill somebody for or to lose your own life over?
At this point also, while things are still calm, it's time to decide what a legitimate target is, and everybody's going to have their own definition.
True. Yep.
Mine's a little broader than some.
I got you, buddy.
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Have a wonderful time.
All right, John.
Huh?
Take care. See you. Stay in touch. Bye-bye. There goes John. All right. Well, let's see how we get through this. What's in your bed? Your truck bed. I urge you to protect your truck bed with a Linex Protective Spray-On Bedliner offered by Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Linex is the best available protective coating on the market. If you'd like to have color in your truck bed, the same, you know, color bed liner as your truck, well, that can be accomplished at Linex of Glen Burnie. The color-coated DuPont Kevlar coating uses the existing paint code, and it provides you with that factory-finished look, offering superior protection. Now, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one in customer satisfaction. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provides mobile service to your job site for commercial and industrial applications, from underground holding tanks to secondary containments to styrofoams and plastics. Well, they all need protection. If you want to know more, visit Bay Linex of Glen Burnie online at baylinex.com. Bay Linex, LINEX.com, or stop by. They're located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, Bay I, just off Beltway Exit 3A, or off Ritchie Highway. Don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-0199. Ask for Bobby Hawkins. Mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors, and learn how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, now more than just bedliners. Tochterman's Fishing Tackle, all fishing all the time. No guns that I know of, but over 1,000 fishing rods on display and 600 fishing reels at least, maybe 700. All the tackle you could need, want, or desire for any type of fishing. They have got a complete fly tying and lure building room upstairs. They have a complete fly fishing section with rods and reels and waders and accessories and every little thing you need to tie flies. They've got the largest selection of Costa Del Mar sunglasses you could ever find anywhere. They've got striper tackle for rockfish, of course. They've got bass fishing tackle. They've got pan fishing tackle. They've got offshore tackle. They've got surf fishing tackle and all the terminal stuff that goes with it. They've even got the experts on hand that can explain how and why to use those different products and how you can get set up for whatever type of fishing you'd like to do. 1919 1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway. That's Tochterman's Fishing, and they are all fishing all the time. The phone number, 410-327-6942, 410-327-6942. Stop in and meet the folks there, the world-famous Worm Girl. And don't forget, the bloodworms are the finest in not Maryland, not the Mid-Atlantic, not the Eastern Seaboard, not the continental United States. The bloodworms are the finest in the solar system. That's correct. 410-327-6942. Hey, summer's the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer is corn on the cob. Steamed crabs, had some the other night. Fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy watermelons. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they steam their corn on the cob with their own crabs for their family dinner. That's right, it's great. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, I'd like to recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet. They don't have crabs there, by the way. They do have crab meat, but they don't steam crabs at Schillinger's. No, at Papa John's Farm. No. That's what they like for their dinner. And I'm recommending that you get their corn and steam it up with your crabs. Right. Got that. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet corn, homegrown tomatoes are ready. There's squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, green beans, cucumbers, mouth-watering cantaloupes. They were unloading a wagon of cantaloupes the other day. I got one. Had a chunk of it the other night. Boy, was it good. Sweet watermelons, too. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at exit 12. I-97, exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. That phone number, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm, open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7 and Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number is 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm, it'll grow on you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Here we got Bill in Baltimore and Alice in Catonsville. Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
Okay.
What's up?
Pardon me?
What's up?
Oh, well, I listen to this show. I actually wake up to your show every Saturday.
Good.
And enjoy listening to it. I recommend it to my friends that fish and are outdoors.
Good.
And you know, I do buy stuff at Tuckerman's.
Good.
Let me tell you the background. I grew up in the county. I did more crabbing and fishing than hunting. Very little hunting.
That's okay.
Grew up with people that did hunt. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I've used weapons. I know how to use them and would not hesitate in using one.
All right.
I don't own one, though. I'm a strong Second Amendment person. I argued the right to bear arms is with the people against the federal militia that's needed for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, because when the state takes over with all the power, the militia is in the hands of whoever runs the government, and when the corporations run and buy off the government, your enemy is the corporations that own the government. Now, that said, today's show has really upset me. I try to sympathize, and I can sympathize and relate to the things you say. I talk to people that are afraid of guns. I talk to people that are, you know, that don't own any and they're afraid of them, and try to make the case from your side because I understand the sides. Today's show just reinforces the side of me that says there are too many people that combine the thrill of the kill with paranoia, and that is very dangerous. Now, for the guy that called earlier, if you want to go start a war in this country, you go ahead. But I'm telling you, it's going to be Syria. We're going to be Syria. There's no way you're taking over this government nor the corporation with a gun. So I'll continue to listen to the show. But you know, some of these people are just so unrealistic about it. You got to know who your enemy is. Do you know who the enemy is?
Do I know who the enemy is?
Yeah. The enemy of the people.
Who do you think the enemy is, Bill?
The enemy of the people are the people at the top that own almost everything and want to keep us divided and keep us fighting among ourselves, the poor, the working poor, the hardworking people. I mean, look around, you know. It's the system, the free market system, is not working for everyone. If it's not working for pretty much everyone that wants to work, then the system needs to be modified.
Right.
And the only way to modify the system without becoming Syria, because there's no way that, you know, these people are going to go out and shoot people. I mean, that's just not realistic. So, you know, I mean, it's you got to find out read, find out who, where the money's going to, find out where the jobs go to, why people aren't happy, why their standard of living's going down, and make the changes with the lobbyists, make the changes with the people that buy off the politicians to put the money in a small number of hands to keep control. That's the way it's pretty much always been. So we just need to go back to the way it was before.
Before who?
Before the demise of the unions.
When was that? When was that, Bill?
Well, they started breaking the unions in the 60s, actually.
Are you you're talking labor unions?
Labor unions, yeah. They started breaking the labor unions.
And that's where you believe the power of the people is?
I think it's in the working people.
But the unions, to you, characterize the working people of this country?
A small percentage of them.
Okay.
Because the unions used to represent a whole variety of people, but during it was mostly during the right up to the beginning of the
years
when they wanted to get rid of socialists and different kinds of people, and they were thrown out of the union because of the they said the corporate aristocracy, plutocracy said if you want to have unions, you can't have these people in here.
Okay.
So they just didn't, you know. I mean, I'm sorry,
Bill. I got to stop you because I mean you're just. You're all over the place, and I'm trying to follow along. What's that?
Don't blame the poor people. Don't blame the poor and the unemployed and the working class. Look where the money goes, and push those people to create jobs so people can work and raise their standard of living, and then we won't have people unhappy and looking to kill each other.
All right, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. Mark in Towson, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. What's up?
Well, we've got a president right now who arbitrarily chooses not to enforce the laws that are passed by Congress that he doesn't agree with.
Doesn't agree with. That's right.
We have a president who arbitrarily chooses to arrogate more power to his departments than is incorporated in the laws
that's correct.
Passed by Congress.
Did you catch the interview the last hour with John Lott, who said he knew Cass Sustine, and Cass Sustine, who is our regulation czar in this country, who is a rabid animal rights activist, leftist all the way. He is slow walking regulations as far as implementation are concerned and stockpiling them until after the alleged reelection of this president. And then Katie bar the door, because there will be no stopping him.
We are halfway to a dictatorship. This is exactly the way Hugo Chavez became a dictator of what was formerly a very democratic and prosperous country of Venezuela.
That's correct.
We're halfway there now.
That's correct.
And the prior caller is talking about the trade unions. I don't know who they is.
No, I don't know either.
About. But I can tell you this, we're halfway to a dictatorship now in the selective enforcement of the law, a president who targets individual groups and sets them against each other.
Correct. Correct, Mark.
We are they.
Correct.
And we need to have our country. In 3 years, we have turned into a country that is halfway on the trip to Venezuela.
You're correct.
And once it goes, it doesn't come back.
Nope. Do we have a salvageable a country?
Mitt Romney has to win by such a large majority that it exceeds their capacity to steal, because there will be plenty of voter intimidation at the polling places. The Attorney General made it clear; everyone knows he's fine with that.
Correct. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Bye bye. There he goes. Let's see. Alice, thank you for calling. Alice, how are you?
I'm fine because I'm still living in a free country for now.
For now.
For now, yeah. And this is a very near and dear subject to my heart. My parents came from what used to be a communist country. It's now known as the Czech Republic.
Right.
And, you know, I was taught about what happened in Cuba when Castro came in and said, you know, we're all brothers. Everyone can turn in their guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine. So I am very concerned. I grew up in Montgomery County, a very wealthy area, and you know, everybody down there made you feel like there was something wrong with you.
Right.
You thought it was okay to own guns. So, you know, I kind of had this laissez-faire kind of attitude.
Sure.
Until I dated a corpsman in the Navy, which I know how to pronounce corpsman. And
you didn't date a corpsman?
No, I didn't.
Like our president says?
No, no. And this fellow was very kind and a loving person. And he said, "Look, Alice, I love you. I want you to know how to defend yourself." And he took me out shooting.
Good for
and
you.
And he taught me how to shoot. And,
beautiful.
From that point forward, I had a different attitude toward weapons.
Good.
My husband is from Texas, so I don't need to say more, I don't think.
Don't mess with Texas, that's for sure.
So. Anyway, and I have 5 boys and 2
beautiful
girls, and I have them involved heavily in scouting, and I've spoken
good
to you about it before.
Oh, sure, I remember. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my husband and 3 of my boys just came back from Philmont, and also that same week I was with my 10-year-old over at the Howard County Fairgrounds for the Cub Scout Day Camp, which was phenomenal. I'd love to drag you out there sometime.
Oh, we could work that out, probably.
That would be great. But I wanted to say when they were talking about killing somebody to support your Second Amendment rights.
Right.
I think it would come down to people maybe like me, because I look lily white. Nobody would ever suspect that I'm a gun owner. I'm
right
a very peaceable person, and it, you know, for the past 20 years, I've proven myself to not be a psychotic person with a weapon.
Right.
And so I would say that, you know, if the fellows who were in the Revolutionary War at Valley Forge wrapping their feet with rags from, you know, bleeding,
right,
and marching in the snow, that if they can do that, then yes, I can give up my life to prove a point that we should be allowed to have our God-given right of having our weapons. Now, this is very hard for me to say, especially because my youngest son is 6 years old, and
right,
it would be very difficult for him to grow up without a mother. But I will tell you that I believe strongly in my heart that my boys would become future leaders because they would have seen what this government has done to its people if it goes this far, if it goes that far.
Well said, Alice. Thank you very much.
All right.
Take
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
You
bye-bye. Glad I let her talk. Let's see who's next. That'd be Jerry in Baltimore. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Okay. Let me turn to Mary now. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people today talking about Second Amendment and what could happen and all those kind of things. But one thing we have to remember is we have to work hard now. You know? Remember when Churchill was in the middle of World War II and he was talking about what people can and can't do, and he said, if you won't fight now, when you have a half of a chance, what will you do when it's later and you're facing Nazi guns? You know,
yeah,
what kind of chance do you have then? Actually, in the United States, there is a situation where we have a chance to preserve our rights, and we start now. We talk to our friends, we talk to our neighbors, we talk to the Congress people, and we enforce states' rights. And, you know, the left loves to say states' rights is segregation activity. No, states' rights originally came about as something that was really important because when they signed the Constitution, they knew that some states were not for slavery, and some were.
Right.
So those that weren't for slavery wanted to preserve their rights.
Jerry, you're wandering far afield here.
I'm not wandering far afield when I say this. There is no chance for the Second Amendment to stay in force unless people work now.
That's correct. Good point. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. We've got to move along. Roy in White Marsh.
Hey, Alan.
Yes.
Look, I'm an old man. I want to really thank you for putting yourself out there. I mean, you're putting yourself in the crosshairs by doing this.
And, probably.
I don't know what to say. I can't believe you're doing it.
Okay.
And,
well,
I thank you. And I can just see, you know, through the things that they've done with the radio thing, taking over the radio so you have
sure
communication if they want to do it.
Well, they can, sure.
Yes, they've done with this testing. They've done that.
And, yep.
And it's frightening.
Yep.
Well,
emergency broadcast system, right?
Thank you very much, Alan.
All right.
I really appreciate it.
Take care, buddy. Thank you. Herb in Essex, real quick. Herb, we're running out of time, real quick.
Yes. I just wanted to tell everybody, if you want to get this message out, the only place you're really hearing about this amendment is on conservative radio.
That's correct.
You need to start having everybody email your radio stations that aren't conservative radio stations, your stations like 213-11, or your stations, email the people, flood Marty Bass and all the rest of these people that are on these stations, and try to get a hold of your kids and find out what stations they listen to, and flood their boxes with email, because we know about it.
Okay.
Everybody else doesn't.
Good point.
And our senators and congressmen, they're not doing a damn thing.
Right.
You need to call, you need to flood the other people so that they have to get the message out.
Gotcha.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Herb. Appreciate it. And one more, Jack in Westminster, very quickly. Jack, how you doing?
I just been love your show. I've been listening all morning, hoping to hear a comment I haven't heard yet, and I will make it. The Second Amendment was put in the Constitution for the very thing we're trying to protect right now.
That's correct. To protect us against a tyrannical government. You're absolutely right.
Exactly why it's there, and people just don't seem to understand. I work at a public shooting facility as range officer, and 2 out of 5 people came down here last Wednesday and didn't know the date. July 4th, dummy. That's why you're here.
Well stated, Jack. Thank you very much. I know who you are. You're the guy that says, you got to have hearing protection. You're the guy that says, the range is hot.
Exactly.
I know you. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
Okay,
you're the guy that says, table number 7's open.
Hey.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon. See ya. Appreciate it, Jack. Yep. Good guy, everybody. Hey, one more time. Got to tell you about Fishbones Bait and Tackle down in Pasadena, 4729 Mountain Road. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. Head towards Gibson Island. They're 2.5 miles on the right-hand side. Crabbing supplies, fishing supplies, bait, good fishing advice. Crab steamers that are, you'll never have to buy another one. 410-360-0573. And look, for a good time, get out and go fishing. If you happen to catch a citation-sized fish, register it. You'll get in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and the Maryland Fishing Challenge could reward you very handily with a boat, motor, and trailer from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, maybe even a vacation from World Fishing Network.